What is good, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Talking Hoops with Kev Luke, man. Back at it again today, Tuesday, February 13th. As always, I hope all you guys are staying blessed out there. Hopefully, all you guys are staying safe. Hopefully, all you guys are having a nice, productive, and enjoyable week this week. And today, I just want to say, you can change your story at any time. Every single day is a new opportunity. It's a new lesson. It's a new day to evolve, to mature, to grow, to learn, to soak up any new knowledge that you need to soak up. And just know, one of my other favorite sayings is that you are not a tree. You can move whenever you want to. So just keep that in the back of your mind that every day is a new opportunity to be a better version of your old self. With that being said, though, again, I hope all you guys are doing well out there. And let's just get right into it. So the last time I spoke to you guys, I talked to you about, at the time, one of the best teams still at this current time, one of the best teams in the Big 12, in the Texas Tech Red Raiders. Big salute to them. They 20-piece the Kansas Jayhawks last night in Lubbock, and they continue to roll. But I want to stay in the conference because a lot of people always say the Big 12 is the best conference in college basketball. I agree with that sentiment. I've been saying ever since that 2017-2018 season when you had Trae Young at Oklahoma, to me, that's when the Big 12 officially became the best conference in college basketball. You had a lot of good teams. You had Devontae Graham at Kansas. You had a couple guys at West Virginia. The conference is just getting better and better and better. And of course, you've added teams like BYU, you've added UCF, you've added Cincinnati, and it's only going to continue to grow because you bring in Arizona next year. And Arizona is like a fringe blue blood program that's only going to make the conference better. And of course, I can't skip over the aforementioned Houston Cougars, who I love, as you guys all know, currently sitting atop the conference, right? But I want to talk about a team that has been in the conference, and that is the Iowa State Cyclones, because they are exactly who I thought they will be going into this 2023-2024 college basketball season. If you guys listened to my episode with my guy DK, shout out to Spartan Hoops DK. Go follow him on Twitter if you haven't already. Does a great job covering all things Michigan State basketball and college basketball as a whole, especially in the Big Ten. We talked about some of our sleeper teams across the country, and my two teams were Villanova and Iowa State. And yes, I was very wrong about Villanova. I thought they were going to have a much better season than anticipated. They brought in a lot of transfers. It's just not working. They're not going to make the tournament, which I hate to say because I'm rooting for Kyle Neptune, but it's just not working. But for Iowa State, TJ Altsberger is one of the best coaches in the country that hardly anybody talks about. So in his previous two stops, he was at South Dakota State for three seasons from 2016 to 2019. Then he went to UNLV for two seasons from 2019 to 21, and currently he's in his third season at Iowa State, where the Cyclones are currently in third place of the Big 12 with a record of 7-3. Their overall record is 18-5. They are 14-0 at home. Think about that. Hilton Coliseum is one of the best venues in all of college basketball. It's a reason that they call it Hilton Magic, and they've taken down some of the best teams in the conference, like Houston, like Kansas, amongst others, in that Coliseum, and they are 3-3 in road games in the Big 12. And that's a great testament to them right there, because the fact that you're even 500 in road games in the Big 12 tells me everything that I need to know about your team. And they've gone to some tough places. And tonight they will go to Cincinnati, where they will take on the Bearcats led by Wes Miller. And we're going to see how that game goes. But to me, this Iowa State team is phenomenal. And TJ Altsberger and his staff, what they do is they play one of the best brands of defense in all of college basketball. Honestly, right now they're ranked 7th in the country in scoring defense, and they hold opponents to 62 points per game. Think about that, 62 points per game in a 40-minute contest. That's what they do. And I don't necessarily know the complete ins and outs of their defense, but watching multiple games of theirs, these are some of the key things that I noticed about their defense. Is one, they do a great job at disrupting opposing teams' offense by heating up the ball. That's always one of the best things that you can do as a defender, is put continuous pressure on the ball. Why? Because it takes teams out of their rhythm, it takes teams out of their sets, and it forces them to kill time in the shot clock, and it forces them to have to freestyle offensive possessions. Another thing they do, which a lot of teams do in college basketball nowadays, is not as normal because they kind of changed the charge rule, which the charge rule for the past few years was egregious, and we're seeing less and less of it now, thank God, thanks to the Referee Association. They do a great job of forcing the ball to the baseline, because what people understand don't understand that the casual basketball fan doesn't understand is that when you get the ball into the middle of the paint, it forces the defense to collapse and it forces them into tough situations where you have to rotate and you have to contest on a whole bunch of different closeouts. When you force the ball baseline, it's like having a sixth defender on the court. And on top of that, say the ball is on the right corner, right? You have the on-ball defender there. Every single time you watch Iowa State, you're going to see that defender shade towards the baseline. They're not going to give up middle for the life of them. A lot of coaches do that. They force you baseline because you're going to have your help side defender right there waiting for potentially a charge and more oftentimes than not a block shot. And even in some cases for Iowa State, they send random double teams, just random double teams where you'll least expect them. Usually they do it to post players with their back turned toward the basket, but they'll send random double teams just to get you out of the flow of things. And that's what I love about them is their defense is so unpredictable that just like Houston, you really can't game plan against their defense whatsoever. And it is a magical thing when you watch it. And just trapping teams at random times throughout the course of a game is super smart. They average 10 steals per game. So they know how to play passing lanes. They know how to make the ball handler cross over too many times. Little things like that go a long ways. And then my two most favorite things, and I think the important things about their defense is two things. They do a great job in transition defense. You will see them get offensive rebounds here and there, but more often times than not, they're getting four guys back. If they miss a shot, they're getting four guys back immediately. They do not give up easy layups or dunks in transition at all. And a lot of teams want to get out and run. Why? Because when you get out and run, you force mismatches. You get more time to operate with in the shot clock. And just honestly, you get better looks and you get easier opportunities to get second chance opportunities. But that's another thing that Iowa State doesn't allow is offensive rebounds. They rebound with the best of the teams in the country. That's in large part thanks to their big man, Hassan Ward and Rob Jones, and also Trey King, who we'll talk about later. But they do a great job of just not giving up second chance opportunity, because some of the best shots that you'll get, you'll hear coaches and broadcasters say this all the time, some of the best shots that you will get in the course of a possession are off of those second chance opportunities. Iowa State does a great job of limiting those as a whole. So that's their defense, right? And that's the thing with Iowa State. Last year in TJ Osselberger's second season, they went 9-9 in the Big 12, mostly because their defense. They did not have a competent offensive team last year. And that's what I love about this team this year, is that they addressed those needs offensively. They got guys that can guard and buy into their system. But most importantly, at the end of the day, you still got to put the ball through the hoop. And that's what they did in the transfer portal. But before we get into those transfer guys, you brought back Taman Lipsey. Taman Lipsey was a freshman last year. He got thrown into the fire to be the starting point guard last year because he pretty much had to be. And this year, the progression that he's shown has been immense for this program. And I honestly think in his next two seasons, because he's a sophomore right now, of course, as I just mentioned, in his next two seasons, I think he's going to go down as a legendary point guard at Iowa State. And this is a Iowa State program that's had Jamal Tinsley. You've had Tyrese Halliburton. You've had Monte Morris, right? You have a history, a long history that goes back a very long time. I know I'm forgetting some names. Those are just the names that come off the top of my head when I think about Iowa State point guards. I honestly think Taman Lipsey is going to end up in that stratosphere just because, one, he's from Ames, right? But two, what you'll hear a lot of people talk about is the greatest development a college basketball player usually has is that offseason between their freshman year and their sophomore year. And I believe the thing with Taman Lipsey was last year, as a freshman, you're just trying to figure out how to get onto the court. He didn't really have that problem because he was forced to play, but you got to figure out how to run your team. You got to figure out how to play defense, which is off the ball defense, on the ball defense, buying into your coach's system, different things like that. But as a point guard, again, in my opinion, I think being a point guard is the toughest job on the floor because you have to be an extension of your coach on the floor. And Taman Lipsey knows exactly what TJ Osselberger wants out of him. And I think his offensive progression has been a sight to see. Just like another guy, Trey King, who we'll talk about in a minute. Taman Lipsey, last season, he didn't really shoot the ball. What he did do was he did a great job of getting into the paint and making decisions from there. And he also had a floater game, and he also kind of had an in-between game. It wasn't the best, but he made it work. This year, he's turned into a much more respectable shooter. And as a point guard, you have to be able to do that because you have the ball in your hands more often times than not. And what you have to do is you have to make defenses respect you. And he's not a great shooter, but he knows how to knock down open shots. And that's a key thing, and it's been a key development in his game, on top of the fact that he's already the ultimate playmaker. And you can make a case that he's a top three point guard in the Big 12. And I think he probably is. And it's a lot of good point guards in the Big 12, from Ray J. Dennis to DeJuan Harris to Jamal Shedd. The list goes on, right? It's a lot of good point guards. But to me, Tamon Lipsey is in that class, and he's only going to get better and better and better as these games go by. So shout out to him, because he's doing a great job of running this team. Then I want to get to the two impactful transfers real quick. That is Keyshawn Gilbert and Curtis Jones. Keyshawn Gilbert, I was a fan of last year because he played at UNLV with my guy EJ Harkless. He was a sophomore last year, and he averaged pretty much around the same points per game. This year, he's averaging 14 points per game pretty much. Last year, he averaged 13. So it's pretty much the same thing. The thing about him, though, is that he is their starting shooting guard, and he's also their backup point guard, because he can really play both positions, and he does a good job of just being able to put the ball through the hoop, right? He got the mid-range game. He has the in-between game. He can knock down threes off the catch or off the dribble, and he can get to the rim and finish with a variety of finishes, whether it's above or below the rim, with his right or his left hand, circuit shots, whatever you need out of Keyshawn Gilbert, he is going to give you. He's from St. Louis. Shout out to the Lou. He knows how to get the job done. I think him going to this situation after leaving UNLV was a perfect fit because, again, they needed his scoring prowess. He doesn't care if he missed the last five shots. The next offensive possession, he's going to come down the court and shoot it like he wasn't 0-5 before that. And he's going to shoot it with all confidence. And that's what I love about his game, is that he has that amnesia that great basketball players have to have. You can't always get caught up in the last possession. The game moves too fast to get lost in previous possessions. And Keyshawn Gilbert just gives them that offensive dynamic that they didn't have a season ago. And Curtis Jones is the same thing. He came over from the University at Buffalo, where he had a pretty good, you know, season last year, but Buffalo has not been good ever since Nate Oates and Bobby Hurley departed. But Curtis Jones, in their last six games, he's averaging 14.2 points per game. He's getting more and more comfortable as these games go by. And in those last six games, they beat TCU at home. They went to Austin and beat the Texas Longhorns by five. They lost at Baylor in a crazy game by two. Okay. They beat Kansas at home. Then they beat Kansas State at home. And then they beat TCU in Fort Worth. And so for Curtis Jones, he's another guy, 6'3 guard, comes off the bench. He looks more so as a knockdown three-point shooter, but he is starting to learn how to create off the dribble and get easier opportunities, not just for himself, but for his teammates too. And I think his progression is key. And when you look at guys like that, I always say, sometimes transfers don't always hit in their first season. Sometimes it takes guys a whole season. But for Curtis Jones, I think he's finally starting to get acclimated in his role and what this team needs out of him. And that's just to be that microwave scorer off the bench, and is making this team better, and his confidence is building because of that. So we'll see how he plays tonight at Cincy. But his progression has been a key thing for this team too. And the more that he shoots, the better that he's going to get, I promise you, because this team needs his scoring. So shout out to Curtis Jones, because he's just that guy. And then to me, one of the most exciting players in the country that hardly anybody is talking about, and it's blowing my mind because everybody talks about how this 2023 freshman class has not been that good. Yeah, you got Cody Williams. Yeah, you got Stephon Castle. Yeah, you got a couple other guys across the country, but Milan Momcilovic, if you guys have not heard of him, please go watch him on YouTube. Please watch an Iowa State game the next time you get a chance to, because he is a 6'8 power forward, but he reminds me of Dirk Nowitzki. I'm going to just be honest with you guys and say it right now. And again, I don't like comparing guys to all-time greats and Hall of Famers like that, but it, when it just comes to the sense that he has the fadeaway down, he has the off-balance shots down, he doesn't need to be fully squared up to the rim to knock down shots. He had a play when they were playing Houston. Houston made it a tough, tightly contested game with like the last 5 minutes. And Milan, at the end of the game to win the game, he got a call. The ball was on the baseline on the right side, on the left wing pretty much, inbounding on the right side of the rim. They threw it to him on that short corner right there on the left side, and he literally just shot it and hit it. It looked like he didn't even look at the rim. This is one of the most skilled basketball players in all of college basketball, in my opinion. His ability to just catch and shoot is crazy. Honestly, it really is. And again, you could have a hand in his face, but it's not going to move him at all, because if he's 6'8 and he's shooting a fadeaway shot, that's hard to contest, right? It's damn near impossible to block a shot like that. And that's what made Dirk so unguardable, obviously, because he was a 7-footer. Milan is 6'8". But at the same time, man, his just ability to score is insane. It really is. And he is going to be a guy that, honestly, I would not be surprised if he ends up being a one and done. I think he's probably going to end up testing the NBA draft waters, but I think he'll be back in Ames, Iowa next season for his sophomore season. And hopefully that's the case, because him being back in year two in the Big 12 is going to be a major problem. But either way, he's still a dude right now. He's still a big-time player, man. And he just, again, he knows how to score from anywhere on the floor. It was another play, too, where, again, where they went to Baylor, they lost by two. They had an opportunity to win that game. I think they had the ball with like 3 seconds left. And they called a timeout. Sadly, in college basketball, unlike the NBA, you can't advance the ball down the court when you call a timeout in a situation like that. So they had to inbound it like 3/4 of the court's way. They drew a great play to get him open, like right in between the half court line and the top of the 3-point line. So right in between that. And he caught the ball, shot it, banked it in, and almost won the game for them. Sadly, the shot didn't count because he didn't get it off in time. Like, it was literally still on the tip of his fingertips with like 0.1 seconds left. But just the fact that TJ Osterberger has the confidence in his freshman and late game situations to knock down shots like that tells you everything you need to know about the skill set of Milan Momcilovic. Again, please go watch these guys if you get a chance, but especially Milan, because he's a pro. He is an NBA player, no doubt about it in my mind. Now, he doesn't have the greatest athleticism, but I think when you have a shooter like that, he's like Bojan Bogdanovic, except he's way more skilled, if I'm being honest, as an offensive player. That's kind of what he reminds me. And again, I don't like doing the comparisons because you got to be able to appreciate guys for what they are. But Milan Momcilovic is a special, special talent. But three other guys real quick. I want to talk about their two big men, Hassan Ward and Rob Jones. Those two guys just do a great job of clogging up the lane, making life easier for their teammates by being lob threats, setting great screens, cleaning up the offensive backboard. They run the floor hard. They just do everything that you need your big man to do offensively, and especially defensively. They hold it down defensively. But offensively, just being on that side of the floor and making life easier for your teammates, again, setting great screens, giving them time to free up and get good looks, and get good shots, right? Being able to clean up the offensive glass, getting second chance opportunities, being able to waste more time if you got a lead, being able to get back into a game if you're down. They do little things like that, and they're just really good players. And then my favorite guy, who I think, kind of like how I talked about Darion Williams for Texas Tech, the glue guy who had 30 points last night against Kansas, Iowa State's glue guy is none other than Trey King. And this guy's emergence, to me, is what makes this team a Final Four potential team. Like, I truly believe Iowa State can get to the Final Four because of the piece I just mentioned, because Keyshawn Gilbert, because Curtis Jones, because Taman Lipsey, because their front court, because Milan. But more than anything, Trey King, to me, is the motor to this team. And why? Because he is a big body stretch four that can knock down shots. He transferred over a season ago from Eastern Kentucky. So he played last year for Iowa State, but he was at Eastern Kentucky for, I believe, 3 seasons before he got to Ames, Iowa, right? He's from Lexington too. Shout out to Kentucky, right? With that, compared this season from last season, he has improved in these different statistical departments, right? He's improved in points per game. He has improved in free throw percentage, in three-point percentage, in two-point percentage, and just overall from the field, he has improved in every single one of those aspects that I just mentioned. And again, to me, he is that four man that can stretch out, knock down shots. He can catch, you know, the ball in pick and roll situations and dunk on you. He can knock down corner threes, right? He's that guy when the shot clock is dwindling down within the last 5 seconds, you could throw to him on the three-point line, he could put up the shot, and more often times than not, it's going to be good. And then on the other end, you already know he can guard any of the top wings. He can guard point guards. He can guard bigs. The versatility that Trey King gives you is something that you cannot replace. I always say, yes, the point guard is the most important position, but I think having a four-man that can do a little bit of everything, and when we look across the country, you have guys like Alex Caravan at UConn. You got Harrison Ingram at North Carolina. You got a couple other guys out there, right? You got Josiah Jordan James at Tennessee. You need to have a four-man that is just capable of being a versatile guy. And that's exactly what Trey King gives this Iowa State team. And that's why they're looked at as not just one of the best teams in the Big 12, but as one of the best teams in the country, period. So Shout out to this Iowa State team. I truly believe they can get to a Final Four. TJ Osselberger is one of the best coaches in the country. Iowa State fans enjoy him for however long he's there because he just knows what he's doing. And shout out to the Cyclones. They're probably going to win the Big 12. I will not be surprised if they do. Watch them tonight against Cincinnati if you get the chance. And if you know you listen to this afterwards, we'll talk about it later at another time. But shout out to the Cyclones. They're going to keep it rolling. And watch out for them when March arrives and the NCAA tournament starts because they're going to be a major threat in the Big Dance this year. As always, this has been another episode of Talking Hoops with Kev Luke. Please like, comment, subscribe, rate, review, and share and do all those great things. I appreciate you guys if you made it this far. Y'all have a blessed and great week. I will talk to you guys soon. Peace and love. Gone.